my door, it may have been a whole different story. A whole lot of different story. All right, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3 if you're following along. That's where I will begin reading. But a brief review. Singing, and that's what I'm talking about this morning. Singing by the church. Singing is not for entertainment. Singing by the church is not for a mere emotional charge. Now, sadly, that's clearly evidenced in our day. I'm sure it's probably always been, but with TV and radio and satellites, all this stuff, you see it a whole lot more. I mean, they I've not actually seen one. I know they have all day 24-hour religious channels. And I'm sure they probably have an all-day, a 24-hour, 365-day-a-year religious singing channel where all they have is music. But I've seen some of it, and you say, boy, everybody just gets pepped up. They don't sing any down, troubled songs of distress, and problems, and turmoil. They don't sing them songs, do they? It's always these pep-me-up songs. According to Scripture, singing is to be done for actual instruction.
Yes, sir.
It's to be done for actual teaching and admonishment. That's to impart positive spiritual truth. And let's just look. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, and this is, it's not word for word by any means, but it's very similar if you'll read that and then read Ephesians. I mean, two whole chapters are very similar. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And what's that say? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Right? That's clearly what we're to sing for.
Yes, sir.
Right? To teach and admonish. This must be done. If it is to be done, it must be done in the proper direction. It is to be, even here Paul says, look, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts, what's the direction? To the Lord.
Yes, sir.
It's not that the Ephesians should sing to the Lord and the Colossians should sing towards something else or someone else. The direction's always got to be the same.
Yes, sir.
Paul does add to the Ephesians, singing, speaking, he says speaking to each other, to yourselves, and to the Lord. In other words, we benefit each other in our singing only when we sing the actual truth. Singing lies is no less important, no less detrimental than me getting up here and preaching lies.
That's right.
The fact is, as we know, it's a universal truth. It fits everywhere. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It doesn't matter how strict, David, if we can use that word, we try to be concerning our prayers and our preaching, if we begin to sing error flippantly with no care, the next thing we'll do, we'll be praying and preaching error as well.
Yes, sir.
And vice versa. We only benefit each other in our singing when we actually sing the truth of God in Christ. We do this to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, I'll read it again, but just a few more, just another verse there. It said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him.
Amen.
Now, that's just not what we're to do when we're at church. This is not what we're to do while we're in church. This is what's to be done by the church,
Amen.
Whether we're assembled or not.
Yes, sir.
In our private as well as our public lives. And again, I want to express, and you ought to take the time to do it. Take note, read it, look at the similarities between Colossians 3 and 4 and Ephesians 5 and 6. Instructions to wives and husbands, parents and children, servants and masters, and singing. It's all there. We have two epistles exhorting us as to the manner of our singing and the direction of our singing. No matter where we're at. The manner is again how? Speaking. Our songs are to be sung in a manner in which the words can be understood.
Yes.
And not just understood, but have meaning and be the truth.
That's right.
And the direction, again, I say, is twofold. We're to sing to each other and to the Lord.
Yes.
All right, that's the review. Now, in our singing, Paul clearly encourages three different categories of songs. Now, oftentimes you may read a novel, you may read whatever. People use words just to embellish a situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Just to try to add emphasis to a situation. And the words themselves may not have no real direct bearing on anything in that other than just to try to come out, somehow lift it up, you know, at that point in time of the book or whatever it might be. Paul didn't just come up with three words off the top of his head. First of all, I don't believe that because I believe he was moved by the Spirit of God to write down exactly what God Almighty wanted us to know.
Amen.
And each word is not only important, but it's vitally important, unchangeably important. We're not to add to it, nor are we to take away from it.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, that's just Old Testament stuff. No, the New Testament warns about adding to and taking from.
That's right.
Doesn't it? No, Paul gives us three different categories of songs. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. These are redundant only in one sense. They're all songs. But they're not the same kind of songs. And these are both listed. Ephesians 5:19, and when Paul wrote to Colossae, he said the same thing, right? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And notice, in that order. Now that doesn't mean that we have to get up and every time we have to sing one song, at least one psalm, at least one hymn, at least one spiritual song, because it's not stated that way, is it? But why is psalm first? Because the psalms are the only type of song that's inspired by God Almighty. If we turn to a psalm and we sing that, we can know we are singing, "Thus saith the Lord." If we sing a hymn or a spiritual song, we've got to watch what we sing.
Yeah.
Right? Because these are, while maybe moved by spiritual men and women, yeah, and believing men and women, yet these people were not inspired to write these hymns and songs. The psalms were.
Yes, sir.
See, so that's why it's first. That's why it's first. Or at least I should say, that's one reason why. We can see this prominent one first, Psalms.
Yeah.
Now sadly, and I have to do this because it has caused problems. And it will cause problems. I'm not here preaching thinking I'm going to fix that problem. I'm just saying by the grace of God, that problem ain't going to come here.
Yeah.
If it does, we'll use the word of God, David, to combat that.
Yeah.
Now sadly, some have complicated this encouragement. They've complicated this command. They've hoisted up their own standards. Some people refuse to see the simplicity of Paul's instruction. We are to sing psalms, and we have 150 of them ready for use. Right? They're right. Mason, they're already, we don't have to come up with a psalm. They're already there. And as I said, they're there, and we know when we sing them that we're singing God's truth. And I guess most people should know this, but they probably don't. That's what the Psalms are. They are music. They are words that the Israelites put to music, and they sang. This was the music. And I'm not going to say of the old church, because it wasn't the old church. This was the music of Israel.
Yeah.
But we're taught to sing. We're told to sing what? The music of Israel. Because the same mercy, the same grace, the same God.
Yes, sir.
That they sang about is the same mercy, same grace, and the same God we worship. I said there's 150 of them ready for use. There are to be sung. Seeing that even a single psalm, that's 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Does a man have a psalm? Right, that's what it says. Even a psalm can contain a plethora of truth.
Yes, sir.
There may be, David, we may sing parts of a psalm and with it add hymnal music. Or a spiritual song. You don't have to sing the whole thing just to be, make sure you're singing, you know, truth. Some of our hymns in this book have words from the Psalms in them, do they not?
Yes, sir.
Now, since there is this, like I said, 155 Psalms, if we're singing from the actual context of the psalm, there's no limit to the possible psalm music that a person could sing.
That's right.
Now, I want to point out, and it may be academic, but the psalms are the only inspired writing that was divided up into different sections. When we read Psalm 1, it is truly Psalm 1. When we read Romans chapter 1, it is not truly Romans chapter 1. Paul was not saying, like men who write novels, I've got about 20 chapters that I've worked on now. Huh? Paul wasn't doing chapters, he was writing letters.
That's right.
Men divided it into chapters and verses for convenience sake. That's the practical side. Others may have done it for more diabolical reasons. But nevertheless, the Psalms are divided. They're divided. But that's one type of song we're to sing, right?
Yes, sir.
The next type of psalm, or next type of song, rather, is a hymn. Now, the word hymn denotes celebration or praise directed toward God Himself. If it's not that, it may be a spiritual song, but if it's not, this is our hymn. Some of them may not be hymns. Some of them may be spiritual songs. Because a hymn, that's the English word, it doesn't matter what the English meant. What really matters is what the Greek word meant. They used hymn to describe it. But that word in the Greek is a song that's directed toward God and giving Him praise and honor and glory. That's a hymn.
Yes.
This type of song is one that exalts God in particular. Especially in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I didn't even have this passage down, but Joe read it. You know, a man that believes Christ believes the Father. A man doesn't believe Christ, he doesn't believe the Father.
That's right.
You can't say, I love God, but I don't know about this Jesus of Nazareth. God is manifest in Jesus of Nazareth.
Amen.
He is God manifest in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
A hymn is not a hymn, and it's not truly praising God unless it honors the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So Again, I say it's a song that exalts God in particular and especially in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. No song truly praises God if it rejects or ignores the reality of God manifest in the flesh. This is one of the doctrines where John says you have no toleration whatsoever. There are some ignorance you tolerate. Paul said, right, Romans? He said, there's some ignorance, some lack of knowledge. You can tolerate that, right? Some people don't understand that these other gods are not truly gods, right? They don't have that knowledge. He's even talking about believers here. And some of them don't understand that meats offered to idols are just as, they're not, that's it, it's just a piece of meat, you know? It's not been defiled in its structure and make it dangerous somehow for the child of God to eat. But not everybody understood that.
That's right.
And Paul said, you can deal with that. And you have to be careful toward that brother, right?
Yes, sir.
There's some toleration there. John says, when it comes to Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, somebody doesn't come to you with that doctrine, you don't bid him Godspeed.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? You don't even let him in your house.
That's right.
Boy, that's a real... Boy, that ain't much of a Christian. No, if a person does that, they're obedient to God Almighty. Yeah, he's from out of town, yeah. No, these things matter. And we're not saying, when we say, and we can say it, I know it's like a lot of other, we use the word church so flippantly, and we hear it so much used by everybody else, we're so used to using it, and we use that word wrong time after time after time after time. I've had people ask me, sometimes I've answered yes, and then all other times I've caught myself and I've went into my spiel, you know. Do you go to church? Well, it's easy just to avoid and say, well, yes. But then there's times, David, when it clicked on and I opened my mouth, and then I wished I went ahead and just said yes. I said, you can't go to church. And automatically they said, what? I mean, you cannot go to church. You either are a member of the church or you're not.
Exactly.
You don't go to church.
Exactly.
You know? But we use these hymns. Let's sing a hymn. It may not be a hymn we're singing.
That's right.
It may not be a hymn we're singing. That's what they call it, old school hymnal. You would read this and think they're all hymns, but they're not. Some of them are spiritual songs.
Yes, sir.
Some of them contain psalms or parts of psalms.
Yes, sir.
And some of them are lies.
Yep.
Some of them are lies. So there is the psalm, there's the hymn. But we also have here what Paul expresses. He says, spiritual songs. This last group is more... the more general type of song. And it covers singing about the whole of Christian doctrine, Christian practice, Christian conduct.
Yes, sir.
It may do with some particular event in life that we go through by the providence of God.
Yes, sir.
It may mention God, it may speak of His glory, but the main thrust of the song may be towards some particular doctrine or truth or circumstance or event, right? It's about Christian life in general. These things are permissible. As a matter of fact, the Psalms contain hymns and spiritual songs.
Yes, sir.
Some Psalms praise God, and it's thrust, Mason.
Yeah.
And others, while it speaks of God's glory, it's actually talking about some experience that the writer went through. And that's the thrust of it, right? So you see, even in the Psalms, you find hymns, spiritual songs. Yet it is to be what? Spiritual.
Yeah.
Now sadly, most people, you know, today, spiritual is, when I say spiritual and the common person out here in the world today says spiritual, we are using two different dictionaries.
Yes, sir. That's right.
When we say spiritual, we mean moved by,
yeah,
led by the Spirit of God.
Exactly.
That which exists as a work of God.
Yes, sir.
when they say spiritual, they mean something ethereal, something kind of floaty around, you know, something you can't quite lay your... I'm a spiritual person. And I look at them and I think, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, we're using different dictionaries.
Yeah.
Spiritual person. No, spiritual, as we read, and I'm going to read it again, Colossians 3, 16 and 17. They're spiritual. All of it has to be, in some way, God and Christ centered.
Yes.
Centered. Our songs are not to become about us. Right?
Exactly.
Even our spiritual songs. They don't have to be a hymn. But our songs can't become I songs.
Yeah.
As the major thrust. They have to be Him songs. We don't sing about our experience and leave God out. Because God's the author of our experience.
Yeah, that's it.
Right?
Yes, sir.
He's the one who put us there. Thus, even our odes, that's the word, odes, our songs must be Christ-centered and they must be the truth.
Yes.
Now, we may sing about our experience and that some thought we had in that experience may not have been a true thought. Right? And David may sing about that, but it has to be noted that was my failure. That was my fault.
Exactly.
We don't take our thoughts and make them truth. Truth is truth.
Yes, sir.
So again, I say our odes must be Christ-centered. They're spiritual songs. Let me think about here. Here's a few passages of Scripture. In time, I've got just a few minutes here left. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 5. Now this... At least here in this place, this is a common passage. I've heard, I know Earl speak from it, me speak from it, and probably Joe speak from it. Or at least mention it somewhere along the line, and probably many times. Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sung a new ode.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yes, sir.
A new ode. Now, I've read over that I don't know how many times. And I've concentrated on thou hast redeemed us.
Yes, sir.
And rightfully so.
Yes, sir.
Rightfully so. I mean, that's the center part of this, right? But I've so concentrated on that, I've missed some other things there.
Yeah.
They're singing in glory.
Yes, sir.
Right? They're singing in glory. But they're singing a what? A new song. And they sung a new song. I thought about it. They sung a new song. No, you remember, we went through. That's enough. Let me just stop here. We talk about, well, our pastor is our teacher. And that's true. There are to be pastor teachers. If a man can't teach, he ain't the pastor. But we all teach one another as well, right? And we can do that. The wife, the mother, is to teach her children, right? And we're to teach one another when we sing to one another.
Yes, sir.
But that's a sidetrack. Let's get back to this. They sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, what's new about that?
Yeah.
Right? Mason, that's no new news. Right? That's not something you don't read before. Right? A new song. Now, because of that, there are some, they go back to this, what I saw, they think that word news there just kind of gives emphasis. You know what I mean? No, the word new is used for a reason, new. It's a new song. Why? They're on that side of glory.
Yes, sir.
They can sing it, and David, it's a reality. It's over and done with for them.
Yes, sir.
The doubts, Jack, are gone.
Yes,
they're there. Bless God, I made it. I'm actually here. This wasn't a fantasy.
Yeah.
Right? Where are they at? They're in glory.
Yes,
at the throne. That's why the same old song can be what? It's a new song.
Yes, sir.
And there's no way we can sing it now like they, or, let me put it, there's no way we can sing it now like we're going to sing it then.
That's right.
Huh? I mean, it's one thing. Let me just use that as this illustration. It's one thing to listen to that message I gave on Psalm 77 and think, boy, that was some kind of experience people went through. You know what I mean? And you can read that. You may even sing that in some musical way, in some song. And you can sing it. And it kind of, you know, you understand what the psalmist is saying. But it's not real. And let me put it another way. It's not that. It's not real. It's real. You're saying it. You hear the words. You can understand this happens. Right? But when it happens to you, and when you go through it, and you come out the other side, and then you sing that song, or you read that psalm on the other side,
yes, sir.
It's a new psalm.
Right.
You've actually tasted of it. And that's the problem with a lot of people. They hear the gospel week after week, sometimes two or three times a week if they're having more services than we do. And they hear it over and over again, but they can't relate to it. They know it's real. They see it going on all around them, but it ain't never happened in here. Huh? This ain't never. And let me tell you, we sing these songs, redeemed, redeemed. And we have, Elizabeth, we have some knowledge. We know this is real, but it's not as real as it's going to be then.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? It's a new song. That's the same thing it's talking about when you have that 144,000 Jews.
Yes, sir.
I have the right to say that because it is 12,000. From each tribe.
That's right.
And somebody says, well, that's symbolical. Okay, it's symbolical of 12,000 individuals being chosen from the 12 tribes. That's how symbolical it is.
Exactly. Yeah.
If it ain't, then what does it mean?
Yeah.
Only 144,000 of us going to make it? Well, that's symbolical too. Well, it's all symbolical and nothing means anything.
Yeah.
Right? Are we actually divided into 12 different camps among the Christian church? We're actually probably divided into more than that, if you want to boil right down to it. But actually, in truth, we're not. We're one new man.
Amen.
We are one whether we like it or not.
Exactly.
We're one whether we always conduct ourselves like we are or not, Jack. We're one in Christ. No, there are 12,000 Jews chosen from each 12 tribes, which equal 144,000 Jews, and they're sealed in their forehead with a seal, and they sang, as it were, what? A new song.
Amen.
Now that new song, now how do I know? Somebody said, well, I still believe it's symbolic. Wait a minute, they're singing before the elders and before the throne. So if the 144,000 are the elders, then the elders could be the 144,000. They're actually singing amongst themselves. They're not singing before one another. The thrones may be symbolical too. No, the 144,000 were chosen on the earth. They perform a specific task. But when they sing this new song, they're standing before the elders, the church, and they're standing before the throne. They're not singing this song when they were on earth. It's after their... when they're before the throne. And they sang, as it were, what? A new song. What I'm trying to emphasize is, listen, this ain't the end of it yet.
That's right.
We sing those songs and it encourages us, you know?
Yes, sir.
Even though sometimes you sing a song and it the truth of it may depress you a little because it reminds you of where you've been. Or maybe where you are right now. But experience and truth has taught you that God Almighty's in control. He's bringing you through this terrible time. He's going to see you all the way through the end. And it's like this, this is good. It gives me joy. It gives me peace. And most of all, Ellen, it gives me hope. It's happened to me before. God's brought me through it. If it happens again, David, he'll bring me through that too. But that can't be compared to what it's going to be like once we get over there. And we're standing before the throne. whether we're represented by the elders or whether it's at 144,000 or whatever. Mason, that's going to be a new song. A new song. I remember one time Scott Richardson preaching, and he was just kind of preaching along about, you know, will I make it? And, you know, you have these doubts and fears, and he said, but one of these days, the end's going to come one way or the other. You're going to die. Christ's going to return. One or the other, right? And it's going to end.
Yes, sir.
And within a matter of, what, a twinkling of an eye, the bat of an eye,
yes, sir,
it's going to change. And Scott Richardson screamed out, scared me out. I mean, I jumped. I wasn't ready for that. I made it. Bless God, I made it, you know?
Uh-huh.
That's hard to, it's hard to fathom.
Yeah.
You know? It's like I think of those Jews for those hundreds and a few thousand years waiting on the Messiah.
Yes,
waiting,
sir,
on the Messiah. Waiting on the Messiah. Wait, year goes by, Mason. Year goes by. Troubles happen. This happens, that happens. But bless God, one day it happens.
Yes, sir.
A virgin gives birth in a little town called Bethlehem, and bless God, is manifest in the flesh on the earth. It happened.
Yes, sir.
One day God's going to wind this thing up. And we're going to be standing before that throne.
Yeah.
And we're going to say, you're worthy.
Yes, sir.
You're worthy. And you've redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every tribe, or out of every kindred, and every tongue, and every people, and every nation. And let me just say to those folks that may not believe it right now, if you've been redeemed by that blood, you might not cry this out right now. This might truly be a new song to you when they get there. Okay? But not only is that what they're going to sing, David. What else are we going to say? And it's made us priests and king, and it's made us unto our God kings and priests. And that last phrase, what are we going to sing? And we shall reign on the earth.
Amen.
Right? That's beyond my comprehension. You know what I mean? I don't comprehend that, David, of reigning on the earth. It didn't just say you or Christ will reign. We'll reign as well. We'll reign with him. You talking about a new song? Now here's the glory. These people are standing before the throne of God, and they're still longing to what? As a blessing from God, to reign on the earth. Don't let anybody ever criticize you for believing that one day we'll reign on the earth.
Right.
If you don't argue with them about it, but don't let them criticize you for it. Just tell them, I believe, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And even if these saints here are not representative of me, Mason, if it's wrong for me to look for that, it's wrong for them to look for that. Right? It ain't wrong for them. They're on that side, David. They're singing the new song. Oh, what a glory. Matthew 26:28. What did Christ say? Now remember, what's he doing? He's instituting the Lord's table. And he mentions what kind of covenant? A revamped covenant. Well, I'm going to take the old covenant, I'm going to fix it up. What did he call it? A new covenant.
Amen.
Now, this new covenant may fulfill parts of the old covenant, types and symbols. The old covenant is not just a bunch of types and symbols. It contains types and symbols.
Yes, sir.
But the old covenant contains realities as well.
Yes.
One of the realities is thou shalt not steal. That ain't symbolical.
No.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
I've heard people say the law is types and symbols. No, the law has a shadow. It contains a shadow of, it contained a shadow of good things to come. It had a shadow, but you can't look at the Ten Commandments or any of the law of God and say that's a shadow, that's a type, that's a symbol. Mm-mm. It's not. What our Lord Jesus Christ did when he died and suffered on that tree, that's a new covenant, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It's a new covenant. There's other passages, but here's the last one. Look at Revelation 21. talk about new songs, right? We're singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, but one day, bless God, they're going to be new to us. You know what I mean? It's going to be on the other side. And we're going to look back and realize, you know, all that did mean something after all. You know? It wasn't some la-la land. It's not, I think, therefore I am. You know, all that kind of nonsensical garbage. You know, no, you are, because God Almighty created you whether you think or not. The problem is you don't think. That's the problem. They think they think, but they don't. And I saw a what? New heaven. And a what? A new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, not the old one now, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.
Amen.
God shall wipe away all their tears. Wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things what? New.
Amen.
Not revamped, not reconditioned. You put new wine in what? New bottles.
Exactly.
You don't take old bottles and recondition them and hope to put new wine in them.
Right.
No, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now when we get there, like Paul said, the troubles of this world, our problems, our trials, they're not worthy to even be compared with the glory that's going to be not only revealed to us, David, but in us.
Yes,
sir. You know? It's no longer going to be just there's glory there somewhere in God. You know? And it's no longer he's done this for me, but sadly, all too often I don't see it.
Yeah.
I'm so blind and or at least so drowsy in my own spiritual state, I'm not recognizing. Bless God, once we get on that side, it will be as real as it ever gets.
Yes, sir.
You know what? It ain't no dreamland. David, we're going to have actual bodies to live in. And we're going to live with God. Edith, that's beyond my ability to express in words. It'd be a new song, won't it, David?
Yes, sir.
Be a new day. Be a new city. Be a new place. Be a new experience. And that's what we're looking for.
Yes, sir.
That's what we're waiting on. This ain't what it's all about. I know there's certain religious groups, they think it's all about right now just to get to there. You know what I mean? For them, it's all about right now just so we can get there. No, those who are going to get there is going to get there.
Yeah.
You know? What we're here about is working our way by God's grace toward that.
Yes, sir.
That's what we're looking for. And there's another, you know, I talked about faith without work. I mentioned faith without works is dead. I'm going to tell you something. And this is, because three things are great. Faith, hope, and love. Right? Faith, hope, and love. But let me tell you, if you got faith and you ain't got no hope, you ain't got real faith.
That's right.
True faith wants Christ to return.
Yes, sir.
True faith, especially once it's experienced this side of life, it truly desires the other side of life.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you can relate. Now, it doesn't mean I got a death wish, Mason. It doesn't mean I'm going to ask Roy Jr. to let me drive the van home and I'm going to hammer that baby down to about 120 miles an hour and just see if I can make it home. You know what I mean? If he starts driving that way, I'll be a hollering and screaming, slow down. You know, keep her under control. I want to make it home. But if God Almighty strikes us dead, if God Almighty takes us out of this world, who knows what will happen? I don't even know what's happened today before I get out that door right over there. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I can relate to what Paul said when he said, I'm in this battle. I got this struggle in me. It's a strait I'm in. To go home and be with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But also to remain here as well. Right?
Sure.
I know, I can relate to what he means by that. Sadly, a lot of people don't. Well, Lord, just give us one more day on this side of eternity. I'm thinking, why do you want that?
Exactly.
You know, I've heard them pray that.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, give us one more day for the poor sinner to come in. And I thought, well, God, may it be the day that he gets in so we can get on out of here.
Yeah.
You know? It's amazing to me of what people want who profess to be believers in the sovereign God. It's amazing when they get, when you get down to the nitty gritty and you start talking, you get comfortable, you're relaxed, and you express your true self. It's easy to, we're on our guard usually when we're here, ain't we? Not always. Usually we're on our guard when we're here. It's when we get out there that we begin to express our true feelings, you know what I mean? You can find out we're often, our mind's not centered on Christ like it should be. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about us.
Yeah.
Me. You find yourself grinding in your mind, boy, if this just happens for me tomorrow. And I know I have a specific thing. I hope things go well tomorrow. I know what I'm talking about. I just went through it. You know? As I said, when you're accusers, you judge. Kind of puts you on pins and needles. Boy, I hope things go well tomorrow. You know, and I'm thinking, boy, tomorrow's going to be over in a heartbeat.
Yep.
What does it really matter?
Exactly.
You know? Tomorrow, I know you're waiting on that day. It's like you're sitting there and you're waiting on vacation. It seems like you've been waiting for years to get that vacation. Right? And you know what? That week's going to, next thing you know, you'll say, that's back behind me. Now, you still got, you got several days left. But you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Our mind is centered on worldly, earthly things all too often.
That's true.
One of these days, that's going to change.
Yes, sir.
And while we may know about certain things, think about the Moses and Elijah was on the mount, and they were speaking to Christ about the death he was going to accomplish at Jerusalem. So Mason, they, while in glory, could still relate to things on the earth.
Yes, sir.
Right? But yet it doesn't seem like they were just all tore up about it, David. You know what I mean? We become all tore up about it,
yeah.
Don't we? That's what you call a new state, ain't it?
Sir.
A new place to be. Father, I pray that you encourage us in that truth. Encourage us in our fellowship with one another. Our love toward one another. In that truth, for asking Christ's name, amen.